Work Party One, this is our 24th call. It's scheduled for 90 minutes. Jordan had circulated an agenda, and we have one major issue of substance today, and that's to begin the public comment analysis and way forward on the budget, strat plan, and operating plan. That's the main substance for today's call. So we'll want to allocate 30 to 40 minutes for that. The rest of the call is largely organizational. And the first element of organization is to understand how we've divided the work. The second element is what the work is. And the third element is who's doing it, right? And we've got draft lists of volunteers for each of the key items that we want to get done. So, folks, the agenda is in Adobe. The first item would be for us to go through this allocation of the work and the volunteers for our next three WP1 calls. And then, again, we'll start in a half an hour on the budget power. Is there anything else anyone wants to add or change to the agenda? Someone's typing, and it would be so helpful to mute. And we're getting an echo as well. And Caboose, I will do my best to speak slowly with clearly distinct syllables. Greg Shatton says he's physiologically incapable of that, but we will work at it. All right, so the first item is to take a look at the allocation of our powers in light of the tasks that we'd like to be done. And I'd like to know if staff could load slide 4 from the deck. Look at you guys, you're so fast. So slide 4 from the road to Dublin is our ability to understand what the work is in front of us for each of the topics. And our topics are really the 5 powers that we've come up with, plus AOC reviews, community forum, and the model. So we've got most of the work to do here in Work Party 1. And for the budget power, which includes operating plan, strat plan, and budget, the key is to summarize the input received, try to discover where there's consensus, where we need further refinement, where there's divergence, and then potentially put up options for CCWG to consider, and then submit additional details when we need for full approval of the CCWG before we put them on to the chartering organizations. So this exact set of expectations is what Jonathan Zook will lead us through in about 30 minutes. He's done this for the budget strat plan and as a tee-up for operating plan. So we'll all have a template to follow. And Jonathan, thank you for that. That'll be very helpful. But we need to do the same amount of work by October the 12th in multiple other areas. So the first thing I wanted to do was to solidify who our volunteers are. Our lead on budget, op plan, and strat plan was Jonathan Zook. I know that Shireen is willing to join in that group. And I believe Carlos Saul was also going to work in that group and just recently.
Right.
Got it. Are there other names that want to indicate by raising their hand or typing into the chat who want to assist on the budget, strat plan, and op plan? Mary Uduma? Or did your hand disappear so fast that maybe you were rethinking it? Yeah, it's easy to volunteer for something that's at least halfway done. So, thank you, Mary. And staff, I hope that you're taking note of who is volunteering. Would you please? Thank you. All right, the second group is going to be on the standard bylaws, the ability to block a change to standard bylaws. Keith Drazik volunteered to draft that document by the 12th. Keith, you're on the line. Thank you very much. Mary, I wrote you down as a volunteer. Are you wishing instead to make an intervention at this point? Go ahead, Mary. Your hand is up. Mary, I'm not hearing you. All right, your hand is down. Thank you. So, Keith, under powers for standard bylaws, this is the ability to block a change to the standard bylaws. Are there other volunteers that have been noted on lists that we should list along with Keith? Steve, you're typing in the chat. I'll wait for you to finish. So Keith asks, for those of you only on the phone, no one wants to work with me. Well, Keith is in double need of help because the fundamental bylaws, the ability to approve fundamental bylaws, is also something that Keith Drasek is on the hook for. So let's please, this is the time close to the climax of our work where we're going to have the opportunity to put a finishing touch on what we're doing and the ability to block bylaws and fundamental bylaws. We spent quite a bit of time on that in Los Angeles to further refine it. James Gannon, thank you very much. So, James, will you help on both the fundamental and regular bylaws? Again, the list on the slide four in front of you is what we have to have done by October the 12th. It's really only a page or two of work, but it does require careful analysis of the public comments. James and Keith, as you probably know, the staff put together the public comment or PC tool, and it's an Excel sheet with a separate tab for fundamental and regular bylaws. Those tabs allow you to summarize what the public comments are. By October the 12th, there's no desire that everybody has to reply to each and every public comment in the body of the tool. We can get to that once we decide what the CCWG wants to do in the way of a reply. For now, the key is to read and understand the essence of the public comment, try to ascertain the amount of weight behind it, and then be able to write that two-page document where you talk about areas of consensus, where we need refinement, and where we need divergence. All right, so we have James and Keith on the two parts of bylaws. Alan Greenberg, your hand is up. I hope it's to volunteer. Alan?
My hand was up because I hit the wrong button.
Oh, no, that's the right button, Alan. Should I put you down to help with the blocking of bylaws?
I'm still on another call in parallel with this, so I can't really speak a lot right now.
Okay. All right, great. Let's go to the next power. So we've covered one, two, and three. The fourth is the notion of individual director removal. Mike Chartier, are you on the call today? Mike, you're on the call. Have you been informed of any other volunteers who wanted to assist you on working up a public comment analysis for individual director removal?
No, I have not.
All right, so this is a good time, Mike, for me to try to generate a little peer pressure. This was discussed extensively in Los Angeles at the face-to-face meeting, and it is one of the areas where we have probably more divergence than most, the divergence about the removal of individual directors, the notion of cause, and so on. And there were quite a bit of notes taken during the discussion we had in Los Angeles. We need at least another volunteer to help Mike analyze these public comments.
Just to make it easier, I got a huge fight tomorrow. So my plan was to do a first shot on that flight. So, like with Jonathan, probably, okay, I already got Robin Gross. All right, good enough.
Yeah, you hit the jackpot in the draft there. Robin's very strong on this. Robin, since Mike's going to work on a multi-hour flight tomorrow, can I please ask that you get in touch with Mike to share your initial thoughts about the public comment analysis so that he can then write all that up during his flight? That would be great, Robin. Thank you. Alan, you're typing. I'll wait for you to finish before we go to the next item. All right, the next item is the recall of the full board of directors. And for that, Greg Shatton has volunteered. And Greg, you're on the call. Have there been other volunteers? I'll stop there for a moment. Shireen, did you have your hand up to speak?
Yes, thank you. I am... I'd like to be able, if that's okay with you, also to put some volunteers from board members to work with you on some of these other topics. Is that okay?
It is, Shireen. We need all the volunteers we can get at this point.
Okay. I will send you a list. Who should I send it to? after the call.
Send it to all of WP1.
Okay.
Since these are all WP1 items. And what would be ideal, Shireen, is to reply to Jordan's email, which was sent this morning at 2:20 Eastern Time, and it's titled Volunteers for Public Comment Analysis and Update.
Okay, I will.
Reply to that, that you can put more names underneath that list.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shireen.
Thank you.
Greg Shatton, on the full board recall, who else did you have so far on that team?
I am in splendid isolation at the moment, but would be glad to have assistance.
All right, full board recall. Alan, I realize you're on another call. Is there any possibility you could help Greg with this? Shireen, this is an odd one for me to suggest that a board member participate in, but did you have any board members that were willing to work with Greg on the public comment analysis for full board recall?
Yes, I do, but I want to come back to you after with a full list.
All right, so at least one of them will be able to help Greg.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and again, the first analysis is to generate this evaluation of public comment. The team itself then joins the full work party one in trying to answer the questions and options for CCWG consideration. And then when work party one finishes our work, we take it to the full CCWG. So these small volunteer teams only need on their own to tackle the public comment analysis piece. The larger group works on it from there. So Alan is on another call, and I will do my best to try to get Alan to join Greg on the full board recall. The next item is taking the affirmation of commitments reviews and bringing them into the ICANN bylaws. I volunteered for that, and last time around I had help from Avery and from Alan. Is there anyone else that wants to get on this? I don't necessarily need much help because this one is very close to being complete.
Steve, in case you need help, I would be ready to help. Number five, thank you. This is Carlos.
Thank you, Carlos. Appreciate it. Carlos, was that for number five, the whole board recall, or for AOC reviews?
Excuse me, it was for AOC reviews. I was member of ATRT2, and I want to participate also in CCT. That's why I'm interested in being in that group.
Thank you, Carlos. I welcome your help on that. All right, the next one is the community forum, and this one is about furthering developing the very beginning of the proposal we put in our second draft. And at this point, I don't know if we have a volunteer for fleshing out the community forum. I hear Matthew Shears. Fantastic, Matthew. Great. Matthew, thank you very much. And again, Matthew, you understand that what's in front of us is public comment analysis by October the 12th. Thanks again. The only other item is called the model, whether it's further refining the CMSM, community mechanism as a single member. And Jordan's note, the one he sent around this morning, suggested that Avery, Doria, and Robin Gross would team together on this one, because that analysis and the analysis of those public comments is pretty substantial. Avery is on the call. Robin, you're also on the call. So thanks to each of you. Do you want to try to recruit additional volunteers for the analysis of public comments?
Hi, this is Robin. Can you hear me okay?
We do.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think we probably should try to get a few more volunteers because there's a lot of sub-issues, if you will, when we talk about the model. So, you know, there's voting allocation and there's the issue of census versus voting. I mean, there's just a lot of sub-issues within that that are going to need some granular attention. So I think we would need some additional assistance if there are. Is anyone so inclined? Thank you.
Robin, it's Steve. I have two bits of input on that. The first is I'm willing to help you, and we're going to have a board person more than likely. But keep in mind that the breakout session on Saturday in Los Angeles focused on decision-making methods that can be considered in addition to the notion of voting. And I believe the co-chairs have asked Jonathan Zook to continue his role at trying to discern the best ideas that came up on Saturday morning on decision-making methods and introduce that into the discussion of how the model will make decisions. So that whole, as you call it, a stub issue, and it's a big one, I agree with you. We're going to have some input probably by early next week because I think that Jonathan Zook is summarizing the best elements from the Saturday breakout. Jonathan, is that your understanding as well?
Yes, that's my understanding. I'll try to circulate something tomorrow to the list, and then hopefully early in the week we can have a discussion and refine the proposal that came out Saturday.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Jonathan. Jorge Cancio is also going to help Avery and Robin on the model and also going to help Matthew Shears on the analysis of public comments on the community forum. So, Matthew, you need to get with Jorge to figure out who writes the first draft or is it something you do together. Each of you have to team on this because it's only 11 days away. Great. That's it for assignments. Thank you all for volunteering. If you feel more inclined to volunteer, you'll have every opportunity to do so. But the work has to be done in 11 days, so that's the need to move quickly. Shireen, if you wish, you can send me the list of board members allocated to these 8 different teams, and then I will circulate that along with the updates that we got from this call so that everybody listed, board members and others, are all in the same update.
Okay. Which email address I should send it to?
I'd send it to sdelbianco@netchoice.org. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And then we'll circulate one. Great. Thanks, everyone. Our next item is to move to the budget power, and I'm going to ask staff to bring up a 2-page document that Jonathan Zook circulated this morning. Now, Jonathan is driving right now and unable to be at a fixed location and be online. So, Jonathan, we're going to turn to you. We have your document loaded in Adobe, and everyone on this call has a copy. Again, this is a first pass in analyzing the public comments on budget and strat plan, and I'll let you kick it off with an overview. We'll stop for discussion right after areas of divergence. And then the second page gets into 4 areas where we particularly need to talk about our choices. And for that, we'll probably do discussion on each and every item. So, Jonathan, over to you.
Thanks, Steve, and thanks, everyone. And as Steve said, this is just the first cut at this. I am driving to my wedding, which strikes me as another area where budget veto would have been handy. So I'm getting some firsthand experience in dealing with budget issues. This is a first draft analysis of the comments. I read the comments and tried to boil it down as best I could into the points of consensus and divergence, and then flesh out some of the recommendations that were made in the comments for refinements that could be made to this power. Thanks especially to staff for the terrific job they did on the public comment tool that made it easier to navigate through the comments and find the ones that were relevant to read. So thanks much, guys. I guess I'll begin by saying that one of the good things about this topic is it's one around which there's fairly broad consensus. The huge majority of comments were supportive of the notion of better community empowerment with respect to the budget. Some say explicitly and others have said in meetings that the superior outcome to a budget veto would be an improvement in the process by which the community participates in the creation of the operating plan and budget. And I think that's something on which all of us can agree. And I think one of the themes that will come out quite a bit over the next 11 days is that the power, if you will, is a kind of a backstop, and that power begets process, and that we'll find ways to improve our processes as we go along, and the power simply is a kind of backstop that that we hopefully never use. And so some of the comments mentioned that explicitly, but for the most part, everyone believed that as a backstop, this power was essential. And so that was my summary in the consensus part of this, is that there does appear to be, from reading the comments and from participation in the face-to-face meeting, a fairly broad consensus on the notion of the need for a veto as a backstop for what everyone believes will be an improved process for public participation in the creation of the operating plan and budget. So when it came down to parts of divergence, it had more to do with some of the specifics of the plan and some of the specifics of the concerns that were raised. And some of those specifics aren't necessarily specific to the budget, but as Steve mentioned, may have to do with the model as a whole. And so part of what we may need to do is decide, you know, where the best place is to discuss it, or if in fact there will be different voting allocations and thresholds for each of the community powers. That's one of the things that came up in the face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles, is the notion that there might be a certain level of customization, if you will, associated with the different powers. So one of the first areas of divergence had to do with, and I may get these out of order in the document because I'm doing it from memory, is the allocation of votes. And so that came up in a couple of the comments, particularly the ALAC comments. I don't know if Alan's made it onto the call, but and also the AFRLO comments. Concerned about this notion of SOs being able essentially to have some control over the budget of others. And that was a particular concern to some if there was a weighted voting in which, some ACs got fewer votes than some SOs, which would suggest, a power in the SOs to affect the budgets of the ACs. And so that came up in a couple of instances. There are also those, Registry Stakeholder Group is one that comes to mind, where actually had the inverted concern, which was that the majority votes, if you will, or a weighted vote should be placed in the GNSO because they represent the source of funds associated with the budget. And so when we get to the options to discuss, we can talk about both those things. So interesting enough, there were arguments on both sides associated with, vote allocation. Now, one of the other topics, if you will, I think that might have been the fourth one. I'll try to go back up to the top. One was the endless loop. And this is something that we've discussed at length within Work Party 1 and within the greater CCWG for some time, and it's a recurring concern, and we've had a number of proposals on the table to deal with it, and we can discuss some of them when we get to the discussion section. The issue here, obviously, is that if we allow the community to endlessly veto the budget, it could lead to a kind of a deadlock that would lock ICANN into its prior year budget, which in certain circumstances could be a bad thing. It could be too much money. It could be too little money for basic operations and things like that. So there's certainly issues to be discussed about the best way to prevent that endless loop. The second issue of concern that was raised, or divergence, if you will, has to do with potentially raising the bar for a second veto. So in a sense, this is almost a kind of solution that's being suggested, which is to raise the vote threshold for a second veto. As I noted in the document, I'm supposed to just be objectively producing this document, but I guess my concern about that particular recommendation is just that, you know, when you make something harder to do in the second round, it might create the wrong kind of incentive with respect to the first round. So that was one of the issues, areas of concern that was raised as well. And then finally, another area of concern that was raised was the notion that this power was overly broad. So in just a couple of the comments, again, there was broad consensus in favor of this budget veto, but there was the notion raised, at least, that this is a broadsword where a scalpel might be more appropriate, and that essentially programs would be put on hold because there was a conflict over a particular issue, and that holding up the entire budget for that could be problematic. Obviously, there would be some that would argue that that's the necessary leverage to get movement on that single issue. But again, that's something for which there have been some recommendations, as we'll see in the next section, such as a line item veto. Finally, as has come up in a number of the comments, I think six of the comments mention once again the issue of keeping the IANA budget separate. And a lot of work has gone into stressing the separateness of the IANA budget, but the fact that it has continued to come up in the comments suggests that we might still be needing to refine the language we're using and making it more clear that that budget is protected and that we have processes in place to protect that budget. And as you'll see, there was a fairly specific recommendation that came in one of the comments that's in the next section in the options area. So those were some of the areas of concern that people raised, areas of refinement, if you will. And then the areas of divergence, there was one comment, I think, from Malcolm that was that this might not just not work, and it wasn't clear why, but that was the only comment that seemed to express the notion this wouldn't work, but it resulted in kind of a neutral feeling about the budget veto as a whole. Discrimination and balance of interest, we talked a little bit about that. And then finally, one issue that was raised was about freedom from responsibility. In other words, if the board had to fight the community on certain areas of the budget and lost on certain areas of the budget, there were questions raised about what impact that would have on the board's liability for those decisions and their fiduciary responsibility. In other words, if they ended up ceding to a demand by the community, do they remain sort of on the hook for that decision being made? So that came up in one of the comments as well, in one of the areas to be discussed. So I think I've covered everything that came up as far as areas of refinement and improvement and areas of divergence. And I'd be happy to open it up for questions. And I'll need Steve to run a queue since I can't see the chat or the hand.
Thank you, Jonathan. And I'll note that there were 23 comments overall. Caboose had been asking everyone to identify the number. And you had said 18 of the 23 were that the community should have significant influence. So, Jonathan, I'm going to ask you the first question. I'll ask you the first question, then Caboose is next. I just saw his hand go up. On the very first item under needing refinement was the fact that 10 comments are on the endless loop. My group, the business constituency, was one of those groups. And I can tell you
that's
that
right.
from our perspective, the endless loop that we were worried about was community veto, board does a budget. Community veto, board does a budget. The endless loop problem in the BC was the idea that multiple vetoes could block the ability of the company to function. So the solution of letting the company, after a certain number of vetoes, run on a fixed budget, which is either last year plus whatever, that solves the endless loop problem.
That's right. It's one of the things in the recommendations is that particular recommendation from the CCWG plan to just run a last year's budget versus last year's budget plus 10%, et cetera. And there's been discussion. There was discussion in Paris about there having to be an escalation after that point. So, I mean, I guess that's one of the topics of a discussion. But, yeah, it's my understanding as well that ought to address that problem.
Great. So the part that we have to refine, it looks like there's consensus. The way to solve an endless loop of vetoes is to limit the number of vetoes, and then we need to refine what the rule will be on what the default or fallback budget will be.
That's right.
Beautiful. Thank you. So we now have first in the queue, Caboose, and then Alan Greenberg. Go ahead, Caboose.
Yes, thank you. Jonathan, did you count also the comment of board in your analysis?
Yes, I did.
Question. Yeah, how you count
yes,
the comment of the board? Comment of the board is... Do we have any sort of weighting, whether a comment coming from a community or comment from an individual? We had this in ICG. We had a serious discussions how we consider the comment. Usually, the term broad support also applies to the comment. When a comment coming from a community, perhaps we should have a more waiting for that other than or compared with when the comment comes from an individual. It depends on the degree of the involvement of individual in the issues. People like me that they don't know anything or they know very little, their comments could not be compared with the people like you who know everything. So we should have a sort of the criteria. At least, not established, but at least in that sense. That is one question. And then we would like to see whether discussion that we had in Los Angeles, we take that into account. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment and suggestion, Caboose. So the board's comments are part of my analysis of the comments. And as it stands, they're weighted equally, and all the comments are weighted equally. I think that the time to weight the comments might be when there ends up being a divergence from the consensus within the work party or the CCWG generally, and then we need to go back and look at the comment from which we're diverging. I suspect that we're going to end up someplace very close to what the board recommended on this topic. And so, in a sense, we can treat them all equally as just valid ideas at this point, and only if we're going really against an idea that was raised do we need to put that idea in context, I think. Right now, we should treat ideas on their own and not their source, but just discuss them as fresh ideas that have been generated. I hope that makes sense. So I think that your suggestion makes sense, but the time for it will be when we actually have an issue of discrepancy, which at this point we don't because we haven't discussed the ideas yet.
Jonathan, it's Steve. Caboose had a second question, which was, did your analysis reflect any of the discussion in Los Angeles?
It did not reflect the discussion in Los Angeles, and interestingly enough, there was very little discussion of the substance of this particular issue in Los Angeles. Shireen who's going to be talking to us later, made a very important point that the in Los Angeles, that the point to raise a dispute is probably the operating plan and not the budget, that the budget is late in the process to be objecting. And we can discuss that further. And I, again, as I said, I think the notion here is that this power is a backstop and not necessarily the most efficient way for the community to interact with the board. And as we'll see from our discussion with Shireen, that it'll be more efficient for us to operate in a cooperative manner in the creation of the operating plan and ultimately the budget that expresses that plan. But we need the budget power as a kind of backstop that will then beget that process. But other than that, there wasn't a lot of substantive discussion about this issue in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Cavus, I would remind you that the public comment tool gives every stakeholder, every commenter gets a row, regardless of where they come from, because they're all stakeholders. And we did not wait during the analysis of the first round of public comments. So I agree with Jonathan on that. And with respect to the Los Angeles discussion, it was mostly supposed to be a face-to-face meeting for us to analyze public comment. We did some of that, but not too much of it. And therefore, comments that came up in Los Angeles are part of our analysis, but they're really not new public comments that make their way into the tool. Next up in the queue is Alan Greenberg. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you, Steve. A number of points. On the issue of how to weight comments from groups or individuals, I've participated in a number of those conversations over the years, and one can make good arguments on both sides. Ultimately, ideas can come from anyone. Strong criticisms, if they're representing a significant part of the community, have to be weighted more than a strong criticism from one person. That's my perspective. Not everyone agrees on it. In terms of one thing I was absolutely shocked with, and I haven't read all the comments in detail, but I was quite shocked when Jonathan said that there were comments from the GNSO saying they're the source of the money, therefore they should get control over how it's spent. That's a discussion that used to show up in ICANN all the time. Registrars said, we're putting the money in, we should be able to say how it all gets spent. And nowadays, one acknowledges that the money is only flowing through the registrars, and the money comes from registrants. And I am absolutely shocked that someone is using that argument today. It puts into question how much faith we should be putting in the thought processes that have gone behind these comments if we're still seeing that one in 2015. So I'm just exercising complete shock. Lastly, something that was not in the ALAC comment and I had not mentioned until it came up in Los Angeles, but I'm surprised that we don't see any comment. I guess I'm in the form of a question to Jonathan. Am I correct that we're seeing no comments on the concept of a budget veto when the board is trying to reduce the budget significantly? And I can imagine each parts of the community fighting to maintain their budget when there are major budget cuts. I mean, that happens in every corporation and every organization that is subject to budget cuts. And it scares me that we might be able to veto it and stop the board from doing the conscientious thing and reducing a budget and forcing the budget to stay high. And that certainly questions the fiduciary duties of the board in allowing a higher budget than we actually have income for. And I'm surprised that no one seems to have mentioned that unless Susan, I didn't hear that in Jonathan's comments, so I guess I'm asking him. That's it. Thank you.
So, good question, Alan. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Jonathan, let me just let you know, you can't see the chat, but I just simply pasted what the registry stakeholder group said in the public comment. I pasted into the chat because they said, quote, fees from GTLD registrants fund over 95% of ICANN's revenue, and this fact should be taken into consideration when defining the voting rights relating to budgets and strat plans. A possible example, GNSO concurrence might be required on such matters, quote.
I think users' concurrence should be required if it's registrants' money.
Just wanted to clarify, Alan, because Jonathan can't see it. So I pasted that into the chat. So Jonathan was faithfully relaying what the registry stakeholders group had said in the sense of giving more weight to the fees that come through RYSG and GTL registrants. So go ahead, Jonathan.
So, I mean, that's an interesting issue that Alan raises. And I guess, obviously, the complexity is if, as you say, Alan, there's a budget shortfall and everyone turns to the conduits of money and says, raise your taxes on the users, that has implications for the businesses, obviously, even though it's users paying the money, you know, like sales tax, right, or something like that. But I think that's why that concern gets raised, even if it's not always artfully done. But we can talk about that more. But on your last question, Alan, I agree with you that I continue to believe that that's an issue. It did not come up in the comments. The idea of the budget needing to be cut, and certainly the stress test of the community getting together as a whole and preventing the cut is not something that anyone has anticipated as a problem, because I guess we're all operating on the theory that the community as a whole is diverse enough that it would act responsibly in that regard. But but that particular issue is not raised in any of the comments, and I do think it's an issue, because even if the community wants a cut or believes there should be a cut, then having last year's plus 10 could be problematic as well. So I certainly think that's an issue worthy of further discussion when we look at some of the possible solutions.
Alan, this is Steve. You brought that up before, and you're right. We've got to make it part of our areas needing refinement. We created this problem by solving the endless loop problem by reliance on a prior year budget, potentially even plus 10%. So we created the problem that you spoke of with the solution to the endless loop problem, but now we have to solve the problem created by automatically increasing a budget or automatically constant in a situation where the board wanted to cut it. So I think that's a great point. And, Jonathan, I would invite maybe another draft of this document in the next few days where we could add that to a particular area needing refinement and where we may have a choice to make. So it might even make its way onto page 2 of your document. Okay?
Thank you. I agree.
All right. In the queue, I have James Gannon. I have Thomas Rickert, who pinged me separately, and then Keith Drazik, Greg, and then Caboose. Go ahead, James.
Thanks, Steve.
Not here.
Go ahead. So two brief points. Number one, I will fight to the death if we turn ourselves into kingmakers and start waiting comments. It's not our place to do. We have stakeholders. They have given us input, and we have to consider them equally. It would be a very messy process to start getting into defining weights and who gets what weight and everything. I would very, very, very much fight against that. On the second point, my own comment on page 2, I'm just reading it and realizing how I'm reading it back to myself, and I think I would just note, and I don't know if Jonathan wants to incorporate something along these lines, that my comment was basically push it down to PTI level as opposed to maintaining an overall IANA budget veto, and that instead we flip it around and guarantee that PTI is funded and that any concerns around the PTI IANA budget could be done at PTI budget level as opposed to the ICANN level.
Thank you. That recommendation came up a couple of times in the And it's sort of in the next section of the document about what the best solution or refinement is to keep PCI separate.
Yeah, James, you'll see it. It's on page 2, item 4, so we're going to get to that, if you don't mind. All right, if nothing further from James, go to Keith Drasik and then Thomas Rickard.
Okay, thanks very much, Steve. Can you hear me?
We do.
Great, thank you. So I put up my hand, wanted to respond to Alan's comments, to the discussion in the chat. As chair of the registry stakeholder group, and I'll put my registry hat on for this comment, I think one of the concerns that was raised was the potential impact on budgeting. You know, if the community were to have increased power to veto or to approve budgeting, I think the concern from the registries as a contracted party and as from the GNSO funding 95% of ICANN's revenue was the concern that decisions made by a community group could potentially impact the revenue side of budgeting. In other words, it could have an impact in, you know, potentially raising fees on GTLD registries, registrars, and registrants. And so I think it's actually, I'm surprised that you're shocked, Alan, that the registries and the contracted parties would raise this concern. We can agree to disagree, or, you know, maybe we might agree that that awaiting or giving the GNSO special status is not a path forward. But I'm actually surprised that you would think that this shouldn't be a concern of the contracted parties and the registrants that fund 95% of ICANN's revenue. Thanks.
All right. We're probably not going to get into a debate between Alan and Keith on this. I did note factually what the registry's comment was, and Jonathan faithfully reported it. We'll figure out whether it's an idea that has enough public comment support that we should, you know, move it ahead to the next level. We'll go to Thomas Rickard on the dial-in, and then to Greg Shatton, and then Alan Greenberg. Go ahead, Thomas.
Thanks very much, Steve. Hello, everybody. This is just to confirm that we're not weighing votes. Let me also confirm that the public comment review tool has percentages in there, and don't be misled by that. This is just to give an indication of how many areas of concerns we have. But please see your task as reviewing all comments equally with the same attention. Because, you know, why shouldn't have an individual have a smarter idea than a big group? That's perfectly possible. So let's try to make the best out of the comments, and let us then come to a consensus call at a later stage. And you will remember that I voiced my hesitation earlier to take the outcome of the public comment period and the public comment review tool at face value for making any judgments about the consensus level. So that's for later. That's not for now.
Thank you, Thomas. I will note, as Alan said in the chat, when we put this second draft out, we asked public commenters to say, are there elements in here that would get in the way of you approving the second draft proposal? And I know in the business constituency, we carefully considered that question. We had several concerns, and we weren't sure that any concern alone would have said we would vote against our chartering organization endorsing the plan. But it's true that if a comment is coming from someone who's in one of the chartering organizations, we'll have to consider that that comment could end up affecting whether that chartering organization supports us. But at the point of analyzing the public comments and deciding if it's a good idea, if it has agreement, if it solves problems that have been raised by others, it seems rather obvious we are going to treat all of the commenters with equal weight at this stage of the process. So I think we can dispense with that conversation at this point. Greg Shatton, go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. Just briefly on the discussion we had over the comment by the registry stakeholder group on the weighting of concerns about budget. I think it kind of looks at the wrong end of the telescope. In a sense, the idea that the contributors of the greatest revenue have should have the greatest say starts to sound like the golden rule, i.e., he who has the gold makes the rules. On the other hand, there's, I think, a lot of credibility in looking at the uses of the revenue, and I think a lot of the use of the revenue also tends to relate to GTLD activities. And that I think that's a more kind of a less loaded basis for giving a great deal of concern to those that are most affected by the budget, not necessarily those who are, you know, bringing in the money. Of course, in law firms, those who bring in the most money also get the most money, but that's a different discussion. So I think the kind of the corollary concern is that, you know, a budget veto or a budget discussion could, you know, be affected by parties that are relatively unaffected by the ICANN budget, and that would somehow could go counter to those who are most affected directly by the ICANN budget. Whether a formal waiting process would resolve that, or some other form of consideration. But since we're not doing real line item vetoes, there's the concern that the legitimate concerns of the parties who, you know, are affected most by the budget, you know, could be, in a sense, swamped by others. But that's, you know, an inherent issue with any kind of representative process. So I think it's more a caution than it is something that necessarily requires a true formal exercise, at least at this point. So I don't mean to drag it back into the weeds on that one.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Greg. Anything else?
I would only say that I agree with what everybody else has said about not waiting comments, except that we do need to, you know, pay some attention to the chartering organizations and the like, but it's more important for us to look for good ideas and solutions and to try to find something that really reflects that resolves the issues that we see in front of us. The hopefully relatively few points where we have to kind of pick sides between two ideas that are both highly viable but get us to different places.
Got it. We're going to cut the queue off after Jorge Cancio. So Caboose is next and then Jorge. And let me note something. It's true that the money, I'm a registrant at netchoice.org, and our money flows through a registrar and then a registry, and it flows to ICANN. But netchoice.org represents its interests not through the registry constituency. We represent our interests as a registrant through the business constituency. And every registrant has multiple ways that they take their position as a stakeholder, some of them in multiple places. And so I don't think we have to get all wrapped around the axle on this. It's true that 95% of the revenue of ICANN comes from registrants and GTLDs. That's true, number one. What else is true? That registrants, while the money goes that way, the registrants can represent their interests in multiple constituencies, and they vote with their feet in that regard. So the voice of registrants is certainly not concentrated in the registrar and registry money funnel. Okay? So let's move on. Caboose, Jorge, and then we'll move on to Jonathan's second page because we need to cover that as well. Go ahead, Caboose.
Maybe ask Shirin to provide a breakdown of the incoming money to ICANN for information, not for this evening, just for information, because we are talking of 95% from X, 95% from Y, and so on and so forth. I fully agree we should not take any waiting for those who pay more or fund more, but at least should have some clear idea. And my question, the reason I raised the hand was not this. Was all of these discussions is take it granted that we agree with the voting. There was a big discussion, at least by some people, that there might be some other way rather than voting, and that is some type of consensus depending how we define consensus. That is number one. Number two, Steve, if you remember in LA when you discussed the quorum for petition, I raised the point quorum for voting. If we have seven entities and we go to the voting procedures and only three participate in the voting, that means quorum is not there. The way that you have explained quorum in the CCWG is very vague. So we need to establish a quorum for waiting, for voting, in order to not to be captured by two or three participating in the voting and others either refrain or do not participate at particular voting. That is something which is not clear in your CCWG report. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. And the decision-making method, try to distinguish between quorum, which is the presence of people that care enough to show up and participate, and thresholds of voting, which is of those who vote. And you're right, this is one of our major concerns in the next 10 days. We call it the decision-making method of the community. It will affect all of the community powers. So it's not isolated to just the budget. Jonathan has noted that vote allocation is an item that needs refinement. And I indicated earlier that the co-chairs asked Jonathan to try to report the best ideas that came from Los Angeles. Somebody's typing and not on mute, so I would ask you to try to mute. Jorge, you're the last one in this queue, so we can move on to the next segment. Go ahead.
Hello? Do you hear me?
We hear you. We do.
Okay. Thank you. On the budget, I would like to share the following thoughts on the issue of the weighting of the voting. And first thought is that the budget reflects the means necessary for the direction of the organization as a whole. So I think any community power should be exercised by the community as a whole. If it's a veto or if it's another kind of intervention on the budget. This does not prejudge that those parts of the community who, be it from the income side or the paying side or from the spending side, are more concerned by the budget, could have a special say or could be specially considered when we are discussing the issues at stake for the veto or the exercise of the community power in the community forum. So if the community forum really allows for a good conversation, the concerns, for instance, of the GNSO or the registries in the GNSO because they pay so much and the expenses are going up, they should be really listened to carefully by the rest of the community. But the decision on the budget as a whole, I think, should be also a decision for the community as a whole without discriminating between different parts of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jorge. This will come up in the decision-making discussion. And somebody is bound to ask you, Jorge, whether you just said, when you said as a whole, does that mean unanimity, unanimous consent? Or does that mean that everyone in the community has the opportunity to at least weigh in? Not hearing you, Jorge. If you don't have an answer, that's understandable. But we'll just need more clarity as to what are the implications of as a whole. I think all along the CCWG proposal accommodates the whole community, but some may choose not to vote or not to indicate a preference. Thank you, Jorge. Jonathan Zook, we're going to go back to you to go to the options for consideration. We're at we have 30 minutes left on this call. I want to be sure that Shireen, you had, in particular, wanted to talk about budget, operating plan, and strat plan. So, Shireen, if your hand goes up at any point, I will go to you and I wanted to give Jonathan an opportunity to walk through page 2 of his document. Okay, Jonathan, over to you.
Thanks, Steve, and thanks everyone for the great discussion, and thanks for managing the queue, Steve. So these are just some options for addressing some of the concerns that were raised in the top part of the document, most of which came out of the public comments, and a couple came out of discussions that we had in our face-to-face. And so I'm sure this list is not complete, so one of the tasks ahead will be to expand on this issue for consideration. The first thing that was brought up within the public comments on draft 2 is the notion of a line item veto, and that came up explicitly in one comment and implicitly in another, and that is the idea that should the community identify portions of the budget to veto in lieu of vetoing the entire budget. So I know Greg mentioned that we weren't planning on doing a line item veto, but it did come up as a suggestion from two commenters in this time around. I don't know, Steve, if we want to take a cue of, you know, Matt capped it 3 people on each of these or something like that, what the best way is to proceed. But it's more, I guess, about questions than making value assessments, I think, today. I think what we want to do is just, you know, see if there's questions about what this would mean or something like that. And we'll postpone actually passing judgment on each of these issues, you know, until a future call. Does that make sense, Steve?
It does, Jonathan, because as Jordan said, on items like this on page 2, we have a fork in the road here. Our choices are to try to achieve strong consensus in work party 1 and then take it to the CCWG on how to answer an item, to dismiss a suggestion, stick to the plan or whatever, or offer choices to the broader CCWG where we say, should or shouldn't we move to a line item veto? And so it's really important now to understand the degree of interest at boiling a new idea and fleshing it out enough to give the CCW a choice, or should the work party 1 try to address that suggestion and come up with a single recommendation to the full CCWG? So Matthew Shears is putting into the chat that if we don't come to strong consensus, then we should offer choices, which is a very good answer, Matthew. Would suggest that it depends. We'll do consensus when we can, and when we can't, we'll present options. Strong consensus when we can, and if we can't, we present options. Now, Jonathan, I wanted to stop here because I had invited Shireen, who came to this call with items he wanted to explain with respect to budgeting, and he's our participant on that. So, Shireen, let me go over to you, and then we'll get back to Jonathan.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. I just want to start by saying that I'm speaking here in my own personal capacity, and I'm not empowered to make commitments or decisions on behalf of the board. But if there's any idea that emerged from this discussion, I'm very happy to take it back to the board for consideration. The other thing I want to say is that I'm not talking about enforceability. I think this is a matter for another session. Okay. So I just want to focus on the budget and the power of the community. So, the board has submitted its comments, and I want to add some color to the comments submitted by the board. And by this, I want to explain to everyone what I believe, and this is personal, what are the board requirements. Okay? But again, this is my personal view. So I want to break my comments into the various components. I want to talk first about the 5-year strategic plan and the 5-year operating plan. I think there are 3 requirements here. One is that those should be developed with the community. 2, that they should be subject to community approval. And three, they should be consistent with the purpose, mission, and role as set out in ICANN articles and bylaws. I don't think there's a debate on that. Those are. This is an event that takes place every number of years, and we all have to be locked in and agree what is the direction of the organization. The discussion on the budget is more to do with the annual budget and also the annual operating plan. What I believe is required here, first in terms of the operating plan, is that this should be developed with the community. It should be consistent with the five-year operating plan, and it should be consistent with the purpose, mission, role as set out in ICANN articles and bylaw. So if you want, this is really dictates the action of ICANN in any particular year, all the initiative and all the things that needs to be done. And this has to be developed with the community, and it has to be consistent with the five-year operating plan. And in a way, that's executing the five-year plan and executing the strategy. Then I want to move now to the annual budget, which has been our focus. And to me, it's no more than a financial costing of the actual operating plan. So I want to break down into three parts. One is the development of the budget, two, the approval of the budget, and three, the execution of the budget throughout the fiscal year. And here is what I think the board requirements are. And again, this is my own personal view. So let's talk about development of the budget. First, the budget has to be developed with the community in a bottom-up process. The second thing is that we must ensure that the community views and comments are taken seriously and timely. Third, I think the board wishes to have the ability to balance the community interests, avoid unfairness and discrimination. Fourth, I believe the board wishes to have the ability to align costs with revenue and not jeopardize the financial stability of ICANN. And fifth, I believe there should be a formal process of consultation between the board and the community to resolve areas of disagreement before the budget is approved. And I think all of those should be enshrined into the bylaws. Now, in terms of approving the budget, and I don't want to talk about veto because veto is a solution, but I want to talk about requirements. The first thing is we want to avoid budget paralysis, the endless loop that we talked about earlier. Secondly, I think we want to approve a budget that is more appropriately allocated for the current fiscal year. Why? Because A, we want to ensure that the strategic plan and the five-year operating plan are on target. And B, we want to make sure that the organization's ability to deliver on key commitments, such as contract compliance, such as issue relating to enhanced consumer protection, enhanced IP rights, and other initiatives important to the community are not jeopardized. And the third thing, want to ensure the stable and continuing funding of the IANA function. So how do we achieve those three things and at the same time provide empowerment to the community? That is the C. And then I want to move on to the execution of the budget throughout the fiscal year. The board, I believe, should retain the ability to approve certain new expenses not planned for in the annual budget. And this is a sensitive area, but, and I'll explain this. Basically, the board should be allowed to act in cases of unforeseen urgent matters that put ICANN's operation and mission at risk. However, any expenses throughout the fiscal year related to new initiatives that are not in the strategic plan or operating plan and that are inconsistent with the purpose, mission of ICANN and articles and bylaws should be subject to community objection. So what I'm suggesting here is that the community gets real power and involvement in the development of the operating plan and the budget, and also gets real power and ability to object to any deviation from the plan that constitute an initiative which is not consistent with the purpose, mission, and role of ICANN. So that's what I'm suggesting are the requirements of the board, and I suspect to a great extent the community as well. Happy to take comments.
Thank you, Shireen. This is Steve. It sounded as if some of that was coming from a written document, and if it were, all of us would benefit greatly to have a copy of that document to really carefully understand how you've carved it up into development, approval, and execution, and the number of times you went down bulleted lists of points. So at the first level, it would be helpful if you have that in writing to send it around, even if it's just your own interpretation. That would be very helpful. A second would be asking a question. You use the word requirements. These are the board's requirements. So do you mean by requirements that the board would require all of these things in order for the board to agree to the CCWG proposal? I mean, I don't want to misinterpret what the word requirements is, but could you explain what you mean by that?
What I meant by this, I said this is my personal view. And my personal view, what does the board need to require, what does the board require to function and fulfill its fiduciary responsibility? And at the same time, I am reading what the community wants, and I've interpreted some of their requirements in terms of their involvement, the ability to ensure that the board does not deviate from its mission, does not undertake initiatives that are inconsistent with bylaws and mission. So I put together here what I believe are the requirements that need to be fulfilled, mostly from a board perspective. That's my personal view, and I also think from a community perspective.
And do you have it in writing to share it with us?
I didn't read from a document, but I have my own bullet points, and I read some of it, but it's incomplete. But I'm happy to produce something for the comment. Yes, definitely.
And to get that in to Jonathan, because you, Jonathan, Carlos Oru, and Mary Oduma, all of you in the next 10 days have a goal of understanding the public comments, which include those that came from the board, and to indicate areas where we have agreement, areas where we have divergence, and areas where we have to do some refinement. So all of what you have written or said and jotted down, all of that should make its way into the document. And that's the challenge. We can't have two documents, Shireen. We've got to get this into the CCWG process the way we've been doing it for 11 months.
I will do so. And I want to stress again, these are my own personal views. These are not the board views, but I will produce that document for you.
Great. And because when the community, and I think you're accurate to say that the community requires that operating plan initiatives and budgets all be consistent with the bylaws and mission statement. Most of what the CCWG has done is we created mechanisms so that if a substantial majority of the community thought that it was not consistent, that it would have a mechanism to challenge it. So it's easy to say what the requirement is, but the harder part is what mechanism do we use to fulfill that requirement from the standpoint of the community without disrupting ICANN's ability to function.
I agree with you.
Okay, and fantastic.
The point which I wanted to stress, and this is my personal view on the approval of the budget, is not to go down the route of approving a limited budget depending on last year. Because to me, that is not appropriate for the current fiscal year. And if we together have a strategic plan and a five-year operating plan, we need to keep on target. So, but there has to be a way of ensuring that new initiatives that are inconsistent with the purpose, mission, and role of ICANN should be subject to community objection. So how do you find that balance?
And that, Shireen, is the challenge on number two on Jonathan Zook's page two, which is he shorthanded it by calling it the limit the round trips. It's really not the problem. It's the way we limited endless loops was to have some sort of fallback to either prior year plus 10% or something, and we've got to solve that issue. That is a problem we've got to solve. Jonathan Zook, I think I heard you trying to get into the queue.
Yeah, thanks. I'll note that the lion's share of what Shireen shared is in the board's comments, and I made some attempts to capture it. I think that the complexity, Shireen, that we face here has to do with the time frame and the distinction between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2. And so some of the nuanced notions of participation on the front end of budget and operating plan development won't get fully fleshed out in Workstream 1. In a way, Workstream 1 has a kind of harshness to it because it was designed to give the community sufficient power to bring about the reforms of Workstream 2. And that's kind of like the broadest stroke definition of Workstream 1. And so this notion of a veto, et cetera, is not expressed as a belief that that would be the most effective way with which to interact with the board on the budget, but simply a method of empowerment for the community so that discussions around participation in Workstream 2 are facilitated. So that's the only remark I'll make back, is that I didn't make an attempt to capture in detail your comments about upfront participation, because that's something that the CCWG, at least at this juncture, has decided to part of Workstream. Does that make sense?
Jonathan, with 12 minutes left, you should jump to items 3 and 4 on page 2, the vote allocation and PTI separation. Walk us through that.
Okay, so you're saying skip the round trip issue because that's sort of been addressed?
I think so.
What was the third one again? I'm not looking at the document.
No problem, Jonathan. The third one is vote allocation. And then PTI separation.
So obviously, vote allocation is something we already ended up having a little bit of a significant discussion about, and I think we have in large measure tabled it. One possible perspective to split the baby, if you will, on this issue of a revenue impact that Keith raised that the tragic parties might feel as a result of a budget might be to try to cordon off areas in which the GNSO would have influence would be if it was going to result in an increase in those fees, because there's downstream consequences to those business implications for the contractor party. So, again, that's just one proposal that's out there to deal with vote allocation. All that Alan and the ALAC called for was clarification in their comments. So dealing with the other problem, which is this tyranny of the majority problem, I still think we need to figure out what that looks like, because some amount of majority rule is inevitable in this, and we'll need to deal with that, and we can't completely place it in the board's hands to find that balance. So I think that's going to be a topic of discussion as well looking forward. Are there any questions on that issue of voter allocation that we haven't already covered to some extent?
No, Jonathan. Go ahead to PTI separation.
So, yes, and then the last part I believe is largely a function of clarification and refinement probably, there are still those that are quite concerned that the IANA budget might get caught up in this back and forth between the community and the board. And so I think we need to both clarify that language and what I pasted into that document was a very specific proposal on how that interaction might take place. And rather than read it to you, again, I just leave it as a bookmark for future discussion about what some of the leaves on the tree might be associated with PTI separation. But that's an area in which there's very broad consensus that there ought to be that separation. So it's really just a question of how best to express it in a concrete way. I think that's it for me.
Thanks, Jonathan. The challenge will be to do another iteration on this document and to give a brief report on our next call or the one after. I know that you're the furthest ahead of any of our eight groups trying to get something done by October the 12th, but we did hear today sort of an expansion of the interpretation of the board's comments. We heard some genuine disagreements. And I think we've really surfaced the issue that our solution to the endless loop creates its own problems. So the real challenge here is for Shireen to give some very specific help to Jonathan so that Shireen's comments can be worked into this document, because we're not actually going to replace this document with Shireen's interpretation of the board's requirements, but instead take the board's public comments.
We want to capture them. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's our goal. So there's quite a bit in the chat back and forth, but we only have 7 minutes. Jonathan, let me thank you for taking the lead on this at a time when I think we all know you're pretty preoccupied with something that's, shall I say, at least to the Jonathan Zook family, a little bit more important than the CCWG. And thank you, and congratulations,
Steve,
on your upcoming wedding.
Thank you.
All right, Steve. With just yes, go ahead. I'm sorry, I can't tell who that is.
Carlos, just a comment. I think it has been a wonderful discussion. I hope we're not locked into the present structure of the document. I hope we will come up with something more broader. We got a lot of input, and I'm confident we can produce something with the great input from Shireen. I don't see the worries of the registrars and registries as negative. We just have to give it the right name. We have to go from budget to budget thing. But I hope we have some flexibility in terms of the structure of the document. Thank you.
Carlos, let me suggest that the flexibility that you need is there on page 2 as to what it is we're going to present as the option for CCWG to consider. But the first page should not be restructured. Our job was to analyze the public comments and identify where there was consensus, where we needed refinement, and where there was divergence. And on that, we have a job to do. But
I agree.
After one does that, after you do that, we should have creativity at deciding how to take the best ideas and concerns and weave them into either a proposal for the full CCWG or choices for the full CCWG. And we have to get that document done by October the 12th.
Got the message.
Got it. Thank you. Our next call is on Monday at 9 UTC. That's right around the corner, and I don't have any expectation that the budget group would have a new draft by then. You've got quite a bit to digest. But of all the other groups that we discussed earlier and the volunteers stepped up, thank you, I'd like to know whether any of you are ready to be the presenter, to take Jonathan's example and implement it on the Monday call at 9 UTC.
Steve, it's Alan. If I may get in for a moment, my hand's been up for a while.
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, just a minor point that I hope won't be controversial. I think the last section we talked about in Jonathan's paper was PTI budget separation.
That's right.
Then
you're right.
Can we please not call it PTI separation, which has a very different meaning to many people?
Mm-hmm.
We should avoid in this particular section.
Got it, Alan.
Sorry, that was late night shorthand, Alan.
I understand how it happens. I'm just suggesting let's not wave red flags when we don't need to.
Fair enough. So let's get back to the key question. Yep. Which of the groups will be ready to present at 9 UTC on Monday? Do I have any volunteers? To keep this process moving, I will volunteer to present an analysis of the AOC review comments. Carlos, right now, I believe you're the one who's there to help me with that. So I will draft it while I'm flying tomorrow and send it to you to look at over the weekend. And then we will present on Monday at 9 UTC, 5 a.m. East Coast time.
And Steve, if you send me a copy, I'll try to review it.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate that. I know you were intimately involved first time around. All right. Are there any other and Keith Drazek, fantastic. Keith, do you think that you can have something to present on either standard or fundamental bylaws for the call after Monday? And let me ask staff. Thank you, Keith. Staff, what is the call that follows the Monday call? Anyone from staff?
I'm not from staff, and I can't pull it up quickly, but I know we only have four calls. We're going to have to do more than one section per call.
Then, Keith, it's Tuesday. It's the very next day, Keith. It's next Tuesday at 1900 UTC. Keith, if you have anything drafted on the Monday call, when I finish the AOC stuff, it's possible you could jump in. And if not, then you could take Tuesday at 1900 UTC. James and Keith together, Tuesday call, will both the standard and fundamental bylaws question, the powers. Well, that's fantastic.
Steve, it's Alan. I'm not at my computer right now. Is there really going to be enough on the AOC to take a full meeting?
I need a volunteer. Alan, I agree, but I don't have another volunteer who thinks they can be ready by Monday morning.
Got it.
Unless you think you can.
Nothing that I can commit to at this point. I'll work with anyone who wants to work, but my schedule is so loaded at this point that I'm reluctant to make commitments.
All right. You and Alan are working together on whole board removal. Sorry, you and Greg Shatton are working together on that. So let me ask you to, if there's any way you can start an outline or start the dialogue between you and Greg to analyze those public comments. Again, the public comment tool the staff prepared is a great place to start. It really does lead you through. And let me invite all of you to use the outline document that Jonathan prepared as your template. Plenty of room for creativity on page two.
Oh, this is Greg. I'll say, I'll give it a shot. I also can't completely commit, but it's supposed to rain the next few days, and my plans for the weekend aren't particularly thrilling. This could be my best date.
Your best date for the weekend. That's great.
Yeah.
So, Greg, if you can be ready to follow us on AOC on Monday's call, that would be at 5 a.m. East Coast time. Then
I can take the first crack and try to get it to Alan with enough time for him to be able to reasonably react without the fog of
fantastic.
Fatigue.
All right, that's great. Robin Gross is noting that on the Tuesday call, you could possibly do the individual board removal. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate that. All right, that's the end of our 90 minutes. I'll wait for Robin to finish her last line, but the rest of you who have assigned to groups, folks like Mike and Robin working on You've Got It for Tuesday, we still have to find when the community forum, which is Matthew Shears, Jorge, and Jordan, and then the CMFM. Yeah, wait till Mike hears that you volunteered them. So the final two groups later in the week, because this will be a Thursday call of next week. All right, I think that's it for now. Thanks to everyone, especially to Jonathan, for the work done to prepare for today's call. Thank you, Shireen, for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you document. Thanks, everyone. Have a good weekend.